You ever been working on your car or something else and you knew that it was broken, but you just weren't sure why? And the problem, of course, was exacerbated by the fact that you couldn't get it to stay broken or to break in any consistent fashion. But as soon as you gave up trying to fix it, it, of course, would break again, and then you'd have to go try to, you know. And then eventually something would slide into place or slide out of place fairly consistently so you could figure it out. Or maybe you've been working one of those, you know, those wooden puzzles or something where you're supposed to try to take the thing apart and then put it back together. And you just couldn't get this thing apart until you realized that there was this one little lever that you didn't even know was there. And once that thing just fell into place, everything just happened easily after that. Or maybe you've been working a crossword puzzle. And right there in the middle of the puzzle was this word that so many other words went through. And if you could just get that one word, you know, a six-letter word for stop as a criminal. And finally you get the word and things fall into place like that. Well, working with this text from Matthew has been kind of like that for me. It's the section that in my Bible, the heading says, Jesus arrested. And come to terms with this word arrested really has been like that little slider falling into place or that one six-letter word for stop like a criminal in the middle of your crossword puzzle and then all the other words just easily fall together. Thinking about this word arrested has been like that for me as I've looked at this text and worked with this text over the last few weeks. What does the word arrested mean? Of course, we think about police and criminals and somebody stopped on the side of the road with guns out or whatever. But really, the word just means stopped, doesn't it? I mean, a few clues. You know, like if someone goes into cardiac arrest, what, that means the police come to get their heart? No. It means their heart has stopped. I mean, there was a funny television show called Arrested Development. Maybe some of you enjoyed that show at one time or another. It lasted, I think, 3 seasons. They say it was a little too highbrow or something, so it didn't stick around. Actually, it's a pretty funny show. My kids were really into it, and they bought me some of the CDs that have it on it. Anyway, I'm not here to talk about that. But the word means, arrested means development that is stopped. You're supposed to continue to develop, and arrested development means you just stop. So arrested means stopped. Zeroing in on this word has really helped to open up this whole text for me. It's given me some insights from the story of Jesus and Judas and the disciples and the religious leaders' goon squad that all come together in the Garden of Gethsemane as part of the story of Jesus' passion. As we follow Jesus on his way to the cross, on the way to his death, ultimately on the way to his resurrection, this word arrested has really helped me. And I have three brief, but I think really significant points to make today. And they all fall under this heading. In Gethsemane, Jesus is the only person who is not arrested. Even though in your Bibles, the heading will say, Jesus arrested. 100%, 180 degrees wrong. It really, the heading in your Bible should say, everybody except Jesus, arrested. Let's take a look at our text for today. It's Matthew chapter 26, verses 47 and following. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs sent from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them, the one I kiss. Interesting word, this word kiss, by the way. It really, literally in the Greek, it's love. Perhaps some of you know the phileo, from which we get Philadelphia, and that it's the root word for this word kiss. The one I phileata or something like that. Which really, the one I love. Kiss and love are kind of similar words. I like that. So the one I kiss is the man. Arrest him. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. Jesus replied, friend, do what you came for. Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached out for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Put your sword back in its place," Jesus said to him, "for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way?" At that time, Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this has all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please help us to understand this text, not only in a way of historical understanding or religious understanding, Lord, but also in terms of understanding our own lives and living the life that you have for us, following after you, understanding the power of who you are and the goodness of who you are, and the relationship that you call us into. I pray this in your name and for your sake. Amen. Everybody who gathered that night in the Garden of Gethsemane got arrested, except Jesus. Judas was arrested. Isn't it interesting that he's called one of the 12 here as he's introduced? One of the 12 disciples, part of Jesus' special gang. Well, not anymore. Judas was done with that. He was arrested. Later, in the book of Acts, right at the beginning, it tells us that they have to find somebody else to replace Judas because they need to get the number back up to 12. 12 is a real important number. The 12 sons of Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel. So they need to get somebody else to replace Judas. Judas is gone. He's out. He's been arrested in terms of his continuation with the disciples. We know that today. I mean, Judas is not remembered now as one of the 12. He's remembered as the betrayer. I mean, you can go to St. John's Church, or you maybe can go to a St. Matthew's Church. You can go to a hospital called St. John's or named after another disciple. How many of you have ever gone to St. Judas? Yeah, I go to St. Judas Church. If you did, it would be a joke. Because Judas isn't one of the 12 anymore, is he? He's not one of the disciples. He was stopped with that. A friend of Jesus, connected to the rabbi of rabbis, learning of his wisdom and sharing in his work, not anymore. Judas was arrested. Also, there's an indication that this whole elaborate routine that Judas goes through with kissing Jesus is not only a sign of a betrayer, but it's also a way of really showing dishonor. That in the rabbinic tradition, you would kiss someone as a way of showing them affection, but you would never kiss the master first, or without being bidden, without being given permission. And here's Judas just walking right up to him and giving him a smack on the face. Which not only then is a way of signaling that this is the guy, but also a way of showing him dishonor. Judas's honesty and integrity and honorable behavior, arrested. The chief priests and elders of the people, the religious leaders, the great big shot religious leaders of the day, they were arrested. Elders? Friends, I'm real sorry, but the word here is presbyteros, from which we get the word Presbyterian. The Presbyterians of the day, those that were leading the people in the ways of God, teachers and models of the law of God, they're not leading people. They've sent out their mob with swords and clubs while they stay back where it's safe and comfortable. They don't want to get their hands dirty, probably. Leadership, more like cowardice. The high and holy ways of God, more like the low and crooked ways of men. Here they are, coming under cover of darkness. Who does that? Verse 55, at that time Jesus said to the crowd, am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching and you did not arrest me. I mean, in plain daylight, you guys thought I was okay. Didn't say anything, didn't do anything. Here we are in the dark of night, out in this garden, up on the side of the hill. And here you come with your torches and your clubs. Elders making underhanded deals with traitors. The law of God that they're supposedly upholding, they say they are. They say that's their whole reason for being. Guarding the law. Keepers of the law. This certainly doesn't appear to be a law-abiding crowd in this story, does it? And we are going to see many violations of the law in the so-called trial of Jesus coming right up. We're going to see that he's tried at night and during the Passover season, both of which were no-nos. Without a day's delay before the verdict, another big no-no in the law. Not tried in the correct place, the hall of hewn stone where it was supposed to happen. No, somewhere else off to the side. Without examination of the two witnesses separately. I mean, there's just violation after violation that are coming. Elders, on behalf of God, they've been arrested. The priests, chief priests, what's a priest supposed to do? A priest is supposed to represent God to the people. To stand between God and the people on behalf of God, right? To represent the word and will of God. To carry on the work of God among the people. This proper vocation tied to the name priest has been arrested. They're standing against God. They're representing their own will in opposition to God's will. They're trying to stop God's work among his people. Priests, they've been arrested. Even the disciples of Jesus were arrested. Following the ways of Jesus? Well, not anymore. Now they, especially Peter, and he's named in John's account of this garden conflict. He's the one who draws a sword. He's following now the old, tired, violent ways of the world, isn't he? Put down your crosses and take up your swords, everybody. You want to arrest us? Well, we'll arrest you back. Their desire and ability to continue in the way of Jesus, the way of the cross, it's been arrested. Standing with Jesus, choosing to believe in him in the face of confusion and danger, the faith of the disciples, the faith that they just finished pronouncing, then all the disciples deserted him and fled. That's how our text for today ends. They've been arrested. Second, nobody arrested Jesus. He continued to do what he was there to do, didn't he? He wasn't being stopped at all. He continues to teach just like he did in the temple courts. Did you hear it? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching and you did not arrest me. It's the same teacher who stands before them in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's still teaching. And they're absolutely not stopping him. Put your sword back in its place, Jesus said to him. For all who draw the sword will die by the sword. What's he doing? He's teaching. He's teaching. The truth of God. The reality of life. The way things really work. And who's stopping him? Nobody. In fact, they're playing right into his hands. They're giving him this wonderful object lesson. He's still teaching violence isn't going to get it done. I'm here to bring a new and better way. Do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? He's still teaching about himself. You guys still have such a poor idea of who I am. But you'll understand much better later. He continues to heal. It's not in Matthew's story, but it's found in Luke's account of this conflict. Talks about the ear of the servant, Malchus, getting cut off. And what does Jesus do? He puts it back on. He heals him. Jesus came to heal. Who stopped him? Nobody. And most of all, Jesus continues to save, doesn't he? It's what he's doing right now. Everything the others are doing against him is actually serving his ultimate purpose. Jesus arrested? Not on your life. And he gives us a clue to this when he refers to the words of the prophets. It's all happening the way it's supposed to happen. Verse 56, but this has all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled. For me, it begs the question. If that's the way things were going in the garden, if the ways of the world, if the way of religion, if even his own disciples just didn't have it within in their own power to live up to what they said, if everybody else gets arrested except Jesus, has our modern world arrested Jesus? Has postmodern man successfully fled from Jesus? Have we made him irrelevant? I mean, are most of the people who live in our city right when they look at us on Sunday mornings and say, those people that go to church, what a waste of time. You know, go ahead and play around with your little superstitions if it helps you sleep at night, people. Meanwhile, we will be around about the stuff that really matters. You know, making money. Making sure we kind of keep the plates spinning in our world. Making sure that classes keep getting taught in real stuff at the university or in our public schools. Making sure that the real machinery of business, which by the way makes plenty of room for lies and deception, but that's another story. The real machinery of business keeps going so that the things keep turning and the world stays on course. You guys go ahead and go do your little God thing, whatever that is. But we all know it's irrelevant. The time for that has come and gone. We have evolved past that. Are they right? Have they successfully fashioned a good way of life without knowing God's truth or resting in Jesus' love or sharing in his work or rejoicing in his name? People might think so, but maybe they're only advancing his cause. Finally, Jesus arrested nobody. I mean, look at the story. People seem to just go right ahead and do whatever they wanted to do. And does Jesus seem to stop them? He does not. The mob sent by the religious Presbyterian big shots grab Jesus and haul him away. The disciples, at least one of them, grabs a sword and cuts off somebody's ear. Judas smacks Jesus on the face, literally, as he shoots him in the back, figuratively. Jesus says he's got resources. Unimaginably great resources. More than 12 legions of supernatural beings and whatever else belongs to his Father, who is, of course, the Almighty. But he doesn't use any of them to arrest any of the people coming against him that night. Jesus goes right on being consistent with his way of self-forgetting love. What does Jesus call Judas even then? Did you hear it? Friend. Comrade. The implication is that between them there's a mutually binding relationship. Jesus doesn't lie. He called Judas friend as he came out to betray him. Jesus still seems to accept and affirm his commitment to Judas as friend. Judas does not. Now, as I think about this, Jesus arrested nobody, but everybody got arrested. Two implications of this. First, if Jesus wasn't the cause of these people getting arrested, who was? They were. They arrested themselves. Judas was arrested because he stopped himself. Jesus didn't arrest him. Jesus says to Judas in one of the more difficult lines to understand in our text today, friend, do what you came for. Jesus doesn't say, fool, play the part I've written for you, or do what I've planned for you to do. No, Jesus says, friend, do what you came for. The elders and chief priests stop behaving with integrity and stop serving anything but their own interests because they hardened their hearts against God. They put themselves in cardiac arrest. Jesus didn't do that to them. The disciples lost heart. What they said with their mouths, we'll even die with you, Jesus. They arrested when it came time to risk their own skins. Jesus didn't put them under arrest. He was still working to set them free. And they would get another chance soon to make good on their courageous proclamations. Again, how about us? Jesus doesn't stop us from being all that we can be. He doesn't stop us from being brave or loyal or true or good or saved. We stop ourselves. When we, as individuals or as a culture, reject Jesus while he is still calling us friend, when we twist his way of love into a religion of keeping me comfortable and meeting my needs, when we refuse to close the gap between what we say and what we do, we place ourselves under arrest. And the second implication of this is that God's sovereign will is a deep mystery. God is in control. And this truth is beyond us, period. Go ahead and rest and rejoice that the God of all, who reveals himself to us as a loving heavenly Father and a self-giving loving brother and a loving eternal Spirit, is always in control of everything. Rejoice in that. But be careful not to rest or rejoice in your understanding of how God is always in control. Subtle but significant difference. Call yourself a Presbyterian, or better yet, call yourself a Calvinist. read all the right books, and then decide you've got all this sovereignty of God stuff figured out. And you'll be placing yourself under arrest. In the garden, God apparently stopped nobody, and everything went according to his plan. In the garden, people worked to arrest God. And in so doing, they managed only to arrest themselves. And instead of even slowing God down at all, they dramatically advanced his cause. In the garden, people made real and wicked and cowardly choices for which they are properly held responsible and will be rightly judged. And they did what Jesus said they were destined to do. In hell, I imagine there will be many bitter Calvinists, emphasizing the sovereignty of God. And they will complain that they are condemned because of the immutable and wrathful will of God. And they will hate God, and they will be wrong. In heaven, I imagine, there will be many joyful Calvinists emphasizing the sovereignty of God, who will sing that they are redeemed because of the immutable will of the gracious God, and they will love God, and they will be right. People want to figure out whether Judas really ended up in hell or not. I suppose it depends upon what happened at the very end. Was Judas able to repent and say to Jesus, who called him friend, "Jesus, thy will be done"? And there is evidence in the scriptures that he was not going to do this. Or did Jesus finally say to Judas, who kissed him like a vile enemy, "Judas, thy will be done"? We cannot know, nor are we supposed to know, the answer to this with finality. It is another man's destiny and not ours. We are to be concerned with our own salvation, and that we can know with confidence, because of what Jesus has done for us and said to us, and because God's will toward us cannot be arrested. In Gethsemane, Jesus is the only person who is not arrested. And this is wonderfully good news still. His saving work continues today, and it will not be stopped. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your presence here with us. We affirm that you are our Lord and Savior, the risen one. Not even death could stop you. And there is no other power that will be able successfully to stop your work, the work of redemption, the work of healing, the work of putting all things right, the work of restoring the universe to its proper condition, the work of bringing your people back into eternal fellowship with you and your Father and the Spirit. the work of opening the door to eternal life for people like us. Lord Jesus, help us in the midst of all of the challenges of life today, all of the things that seem to stop us dead in our tracks as we try to live the life we're trying to live and do the things we're trying to do, even good things. Lord, in the midst of all of that, help us to know that you are our Lord and Savior, and with you, we'll never be stopped from getting where we need to get and doing what we need to do. Help us to live in faith, in courage, in hope. Help us to stop arresting ourselves and accept and live into the freedom and the power for righteousness that you bring to us. Lord, we pray these things with gratitude in your name. Amen.